I heard the announcement today that a person who came from the Isle of Man has died of COVID-19. I did cry. I feel very sad for this person's family. And I send condolences to them. I've lit a candle at 8 o'clock tonight, and I've had my own personal minute silence for them. To be thinking of them in this time. I hope there won't be many more.
Yeah, it's very upsetting this week about the person that's died in hospital. I really thought about them and their family this week. I really just hope the numbers don't go up and we can get a hold of this thing, really.
Today is a very sad day for everyone on the Isle of Man, and it's made everyone, if they didn't already realise how real this is. It's happening to us. It's happening to everyone in the world. There is literally not one person on this planet right now who is not in some way impacted by this.
I hope those that still don't understand what they need to do makes them realise what we need to do more than anything. Stay away from other people. Keep to our own households so we don't pass this on to other people. We don't know what's going to happen. There have been young people dying in the UK and other places in the world, so we need to try and protect as many people as we can. It's a very sad day, and let's hope that it'll get better. And that we'll know where this unseen enemy is in our community.
My name is PC306, Aaron Mason. People talk about, you know, all these theories about how the world's going to end and all these things that are going to happen to the world, but you never fully think that you're going to end up in the middle of one. And I was there, you know, on the, I hate using the term, but on the front line. The surreal nature of it has just completely overridden me. It's not that I can't recall what's going on, or that I don't remember doing stuff, or I don't understand anything that's happened. I completely do. It's really strange from being a drugs detective behind the desk wearing my own clothes to work every day to being a COVID cop wearing a boiler suit, a respirator, and going out there enforcing these brand new laws and dealing with these super sick people and having to manage everything in between. I wouldn't use the term sacrificial lamb, but we were the sort of the first line of defence, as it were, to stop the whole constabulary coming down with COVID, should any COVID-related jobs come in that needed to be dealt with. We were based in the actual race control room in the tower and had a view down. And obviously on the first day we could see, the fencing laid out, the nurses in their scrubs, etc., masked up and gloved up. And at that point it was all very surreal. It seemed almost dystopian.
So it is a beautiful day. It would be nice to go out and about, but I'm not going to. I'm staying home. Yesterday, I had FaceTime with my grandchildren, and my granddaughter, she sang me a song she'd written, and we were chatting, and she said, "Worry, I'll see you after the sick days. And I'll come for a sleepover." And I said, "Yeah, after the sick days." She's only just 5. And her little brother, he's only just 1. And I do miss them, and I really wish I could give them a hug, but I can't. And I haven't gone to see them because they're too young to understand why I can't give them a hug, really. But it's not going to be forever. And every day we stay at home, we are saving lives.
It's been a lovely sunny day, but it's been saddened by the announcement of two further deaths in Nobles Hospital because of COVID-19. It really does make you sit and think how nasty this virus is, but how grateful we have to be for the NHS, all the staff and nurses and doctors who are all working really hard and round the clock to look after people. And I think it just brings home again the fact how we must stay at home and social distance and play our part.
Today is day 14 of my self-isolation. What should be the last day, but I'm sure it comes as no surprise that I have got the virus. I received a call today from public health to let me know that my test result is positive. So I'm going to be in self-isolation until the 11th of April. I've got 10 more days to go now. So in total, I will have done 24 days in self-isolation. This is just exactly why the government were right in enforcing the self-isolation, the 14 days of self-isolation to those returning to the island. I came back, I had a bit of, it was probably a hangover, let's be honest. Apart from that, I felt absolutely fine. I could have spent those 10 days going to see my grandparents, going to see all my friends, catching up, and I could have spread this to so many people. So that's exactly why it's so important for people to stay indoors right now. And if you have any signs or symptoms, to not even go for that one walk a day.
I got to work through out of it with just by chance with one of my really close friends, Sergeant Lee Wright, and we got sent to a welfare check on a gentleman who it was suspected he'd actually passed away. He'd been in Spain. He was elderly. He'd come back, had symptoms, had put himself into self-isolation, was feeling quite ill, and one of his friends was dropping food parcels around. She'd dropped a food parcel around that he hadn't collected. She couldn't contact him via phone. No one else that knew him could get in touch with him via the phone. So they've been really concerned that he's obviously deceased. They call us, we go around, we get to his door. We start knocking on his door. I'm knocking on it for a good few minutes and there's no answer. So I turned to Lee and said, you know, we might have to go and get the MOE kit here. That's method of entry, for those that don't know, the big red key, as we call it, the thing that bangs doors down, essentially. Just as I turn to Lee and start discussing that, I hear like a creak from inside the flat. This person comes to the door and he looks so ill. He was in his pyjamas, he was clearly clammy, sweaty. He wheezed back to me. It was crackled, gurgled. It just sounded horrific when he spoke, which he could barely do, to be fair. He was struggling to get words out. I said, are you okay? And he said, the only thing I've got energy to do is sleep. And I said, is that why you've taken so long to answer the door? And he said, yes, I think I'm about to fall over. So at that point, I just said to him, look, go into your house, go and sit down, we'll call you an ambulance.
Well, I'm down in the shed just doing a bit of painting on my horse lorry and just generally just going over it, listening to all the birds singing and watching the swallows all returning and just thinking about what life was like back in October when they all left and went on their winter mission. So many things have changed. The passing of my father in January, the coronavirus, how the impact that's having on us all. Lots and lots of thoughts. It makes you wonder what's going to happen when we come out of this with all the mail that's coming in at the moment and people ordering online. Will people return to shopping at the local stores, or will they continue to shop online? With all the people working at home, will businesses realise that there's corners they can reduce overheads with, and so reduce the size of their offices, so rental space and reduce the rates, and so have more people working from home and smaller offices. It makes you wonder what will happen in the weeks and months to come, and how things will or won't change, and how people will or won't adapt. It's all going to be very interesting and hard times, I think, ahead for everyone. But let's just hope we can get over this. Let's listen to the birds, enjoy the peace and quiet of the countryside. And I suppose if people aren't going into work but working from home more, it can only have an advantage on the environment. There won't be as many cars travelling, so we may still be able to have all this lovely fresh air and difference in the climate that we're seeing at the moment, which I think everybody is probably feeling, not just here but elsewhere. People are certainly talking about the air quality getting better.
I'm involved with a number of people. We're part of a virtual pub. It's called the Rock Inn. Yeah, it's the Rock Inn Lock Inn. And every Friday night we have a virtual quiz night. So we have real questions and everything, and it's quite nice because we get quite a few people taking part. It's just a little place for people. It's not about what's going on elsewhere. It's just a bit of fun, really. Not taking anything that's happening lightheartedly or anything, but I think we all need a bit of space sometimes away from things. It also helps people to feel connected, and even though we're all far apart from each other, but we are sort of together as well at the same time. So it's pretty competitive as well, I must add.
Just coming away from the night shelter again, walking up Derby Road. It's cold and it's raining, and I'm feeling tetchy because we've had a gentleman in last night and he's had to go off into the day. Now he can't go into any friend's house because you're not allowed to go into people's friends' houses. He can't go into any cafes for any length of time because it's takeaway only. There is nowhere for this poor guy to get undercover, and it's really not okay. It's really not healthy. It just goes to show me how much Gry's needed, really. One of our senior folks said, we do risky things with risky people. We take risks, we give second chances. We don't look after people because they deserve it. We look after them because they need it. And I'm sure he's been done loads of wrong stuff. And I'm sure in his life, as have we all, and I'm sure he can be a handful. But how can he not end up offending if he's been put back on the streets on a cold and rainy day and there is nowhere for him to go? There is no solution.
The dining room table has been rearranged and fussed over, allowing my two screens, laptop, mouse and keyboard room to shine. I admire it all, confident, focused, ready. The low-lying sun beams egg yolk rays, adding not only a sense of ethereal wonder, but also a considerable visual hindrance. I shut the blind down and sit, contented by this imposed, lonesome sadness. Now it's starting to feel like my work. I'm at best inefficient. I fidget, procrastinate, and I'm drawn to the biscuit cupboard like a moth to an inferno. It's 9:27 a.m. and I'm on chocolate digestive number 4. Things are out of hand.
Okay, well, it says it's recording the call now, but it must be. My name is Max Kelly. I'm usually head teacher at Lapsey School and Doon School. This week I find myself being, what are they calling us, hub lead at Onton School. But it's just very peculiar being in a different school at such short notice, working with staff who are unfamiliar to me, children who are unfamiliar to the different staff teams and unfamiliar to me. It's just that, that sense of being in a situation that's a bit out of the ordinary, I suppose. What should we do? So we go to each table. That would work. I'll just show you how they're all set out. So there we go. They're waving at you. Who's going to be brave and go first? Chloe, let's start with you. Your hand I just saw. Okay.
I'm 11. I usually go to Dune, and my parents both work for the NHS.
I think it's pretty important because, like, they've got to help people if they, like, think they have the coronavirus or anything like that. And also, like everyday things when they're not the coronavirus, they've got to help as well. So they've got extra stuff to do. They've just been getting up earlier to go to work.
This is Peyton.
I'm 10 and my auntie, she normally does this healthcare line. So she, if people are worried, they call her and she tells them if they have it or not. And then my uncle's a policeman and I normally go to Laxey School.
I think it's a bit better because in my class, I normally have a lot of boys that shout and then our class misses out on a lot of fun things. And here, there's not really, no one here really shouts and we get to do a lot of fun things.
Our final person is Max.
Hello. I normally go to Dune. My parents both work for the NHS and I am 9. It just feels like I'm at school, like normal school, but it just basically feels like that. I think it will be at least up to summer because we're writing this leaflet about an extinct animal that I actually find out more information that I already know on the leatherback turtle. They actually don't have a shell. They just have a back which looks like a shell.
I'd sat and thought about it once and I actually touched just as many dead bodies as living bodies. I arrested an amount of people. And I searched an amount of people. They were the only other people I touched. It's such a strange concept to physically come into contact with more people who are no longer alive than people who are alive. I don't think that's a very healthy thing to occur in someone's life. What the weirdest thing for us, I think, through the whole thing was dealing with death. Literally seeing people at their lowest because either they have died or they're surrounded by loved ones who are grieving about that death, and it's never ever easy to deal with those people. What made it more difficult for us was obviously we're in PPE and we're in enhanced PPE, so you might have seen the doctors in Italy etc. on the news where they've had those respirators on their faces and they've got like the triangular imprints around them. We had them. You normally get a police officer turning up in their shirt and tie. We were turning up in as close to a full hazmat suit as you can get without being in a hazmat suit. You know, I'm there in my boiler suit and my respirator and I'm trying to be a police officer but also trying to be as human as possible.
Well, yesterday I found out an old friend who'd been ill for a long time, for over a year, had passed away. So I feel quite sad about that because it's difficult for his family. But also, I feel sad the fact that I haven't seen them for a while and that I can't go around to see them now, the family, and talk to them. And also reflecting back on how when we're at work and when we're busy, we're too busy to go see people and spend time with them. And maybe after all this is finished, I think we'll make time for people. We do need to work, but maybe not prioritise people before other things, because our time is so precious. It's the most precious thing we have, and we need to spend it with the people that we care about and that matter to us. So yeah, I do feel, and I just hope, so I send my condolences to my friend's family.
With the news today that construction might be going back to work at the end of next week, I find it quite a worrying thought, really, because construction sites, just by their means, you're working in close proximity to each other. I fail to see how we can effectively socially distance and stay 2 metres apart and continue to work safely, because you're going to be thinking either of your job or staying 2 metres apart. You're not going to be concentrating on one thing. I also worry about how the hygiene side of it is going to be, because construction sites don't tend to have the best toilet and hand washing facilities. Some of them don't even have any facilities. And I can't quite see how, when hand washing is such an important part of the prevention of COVID-19, I can't quite see how we're going to manage that. There's a lot of questions need to be raised and answers given to ensure that construction sites going back are safe to do so without the loss of loved ones because of going back to work too quickly.
It's saddening that so many people have lost their lives and loved ones due to COVID, but I think we should take great comfort as to how we, as an island, pulled together to suppress the virus. Particularly when we look around the world and countries are still battling with it due to fairly relaxed rules. It could have been a lot worse had we have not have introduced the emergency regulations when we did. The team has been committed throughout the crisis, often putting the crisis before their own loved ones. They've worked long hours. They've done it with enthusiasm despite the challenging circumstances and the sadness of the situation. And they've always remembered the overall objective is to keep the people of our island safe and to suppress the virus. And I think this is what we've done. From a sergeant's point of view, I genuinely couldn't have asked for better officers to be on the COVID team. People often ask us, were we scared of catching COVID? I wouldn't say we were, to be honest. We were constantly mindful of the virus, suppressing it, and not to inadvertently spread it. That was at the forefront of our mind. Every single one of us knew that we may get it at some point due to the job. Doing police work day in and day out, you deal with hazardous situations. You can't shy away from it. At the end of the day, we're professionals. We're entrusted by the public to keep people safe. Our work always involves an element of risk, but we should never be fearful of it. It's been refreshing to see the community spirits being rejuvenated through this crisis. It's sad that it's had to take the COVID crisis to do it, but it's brought the community together. It's brought positivity to the community, and it's brought families together. You know, when we've been driving around, it's actually been nice seeing families out as a whole, all walking together, teenagers included. A good bit of quality time together. And in modern day life, we often overlook that or undervalue it.
I must admit, I used to slate the Isle of Man. I basically Left the Isle of Man in December thinking the Isle of Man wasn't the place for me. And it's so crazy that in these 2 weeks, the sense of community that I have felt here has brought back a love for it that I haven't felt for quite a long time. And as horrible as these times are, we live in a place where everyone just comes together so well. The world is coming together in this. Like I said, everyone is affected by it, but we're very unique in the setup that we have here. And I do think this positivity is what's going to get us through.
I'm just on my way back up Derby Road after another night at the shelter. It is absolutely glorious. The sky is as blue can be. The birds are shouting their little heads off for pure happiness. The sun's just coming down on me through the leaves of the oak tree in Glenfalcon. Oh, it's just a joy to be alive.
Ireland in Lockdown was a specially commissioned documentary by Manx Radio. It was produced by Aaron Ibaneth, Sarah Hendy, and William King. Parts 1 and 2 are now available to listen again as a podcast online at manxradio.com.